This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. First up, there have been a few stories recently circulating around this idea of stolen creative work or the copying of ideas. So we wanted to look at how much protection artists and creatives have here in Malaysia.
So, like you said, there have been a number of stories, right? But we wanted to share a couple, I suppose. So yesterday, illustrator Lai Ting Sing, who is also known as Book of Lai on Instagram, shared a post there about seeing his artwork on a window display at a departmental store, basically in a prominent mall. And he said, oh, okay, well, I haven't actually done any commissions for this particular department store. And that details of the display were almost identical to work that he had in fact done in 2018 for another company's Raya greeting newspaper ad. And if you look at the post and the side-by-side images that he shared, right, about the display and the illustration, I mean, it's remarkably similar. There are a few shifts in colour, there are a few things that were done differently, but they are recognisably kind of, they look like they were born of the same person, essentially. So he went on to say that what struck me the most upon taking more photos and videos for record was how shoddily redone the line works were in some poor attempt to make the artwork look more original. The wonky perspective, flipped and repeated illustrations, it's something I'll never do. He also went on to talk about the number of ways that he tried to resolve the matter, right? He contacted the department store on a number of platforms, through email, by calling, but so far no response.
So that's one incident. And last week, we had a slightly different, but nevertheless circulating around this idea of who owns ideas and content, right? So Khairul Aming, the TikTok food guru, I want to say, essentially people on social media started calling out other content creators for supposedly copying Khairul Aming's 30 Days, 30 Recipes cooking content during Ramadan. Now, he since responded to this issue and said that the efforts of all the creators who made these videos should be appreciated. But that said, it did open up a conversation about the lines between paying tribute to, being inspired by, but also straight up copying, and where exactly that lies. And I think that the conversation just does change quite a bit when you look at the fact that social media and the internet in general is often viewed as a sort of free-for-all when it comes to ideas, right? But I don't think that's necessarily as comfortable for the people who might have worked hard on those ideas to begin with.
That, and the other thing that's worth pointing out is that the reason why these two stories are interesting comparisons is because one involves a company and the other involves other creators. And I think that the lines there are also blurry, right? Because you have this question of, in both cases, you do have that question of, is someone benefiting from work that I've done, whether in the capacity of branding or whether it's more direct, right? Like people like the work that they do want to sponsor it, but in fact, it was yours first. And so either which way, they are different stories, but it ultimately comes down to that question of being rewarded or having protection over your work in a time where, as you rightly point out, I mean, these things are, gosh, I mean, once you publish something on a social media platform, there are also these arguments, right, that, well, you've published it and so now it's out in the open and, you know, that's what it is. It's already there and it was there for free. And so it's there for people to take or to borrow or to remix. But I mean, I think that these conversations are also only going to continue to get more complex over time.
Yes. And for what it's worth, right, we do have the Copyright Act of 1987, but the parameters for creative work to be eligible for copyright are quite stringent. And I think the layer of social media and posting and what constitutes a public platform, what constitutes publishing, have all also added to the complications when it comes to this. And I think particularly for creatives themselves, it can be quite difficult to understand, first of all, where the lines lie, but also what to do if they think that their work has been copied or if their copyright has been infringed. So those are some of the things we're going to unpack after this, but we'd like to hear from you. Does it bother you when you hear of people's work being copied? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be discussing this with senior lawyer and arbitrator Shamsuriya Tina Ishak. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It is 5:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And we're discussing creative work and at what point you can say they've been stolen or copied. This is coming on the wake of a number of different incidences, primarily posted online, where creatives talked about their works being taken or copied in many forms. And so we'd like to hear from you. Does it bother you when you hear of people's work being copied? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Shamsuria Tina Ishak, senior lawyer and arbitrator who practices in the area of intellectual property law. Tina, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's start with a scenario, right? If I'm a creative who has put my work out in the world, whether it's an illustration in an ad or an Instagram video, how much ownership do I have over that content legally?
Okay, so basically Malaysia is covered under the Berne Convention, which is signed by about 179 countries worldwide under the World Intellectual Property Organization. You know, we've heard of WHO for the last 2 years. Well, there's also a WIPO, World International Property Organization. So it basically governs the same set of rules that says that as soon as a creative work is put into a tangible form, a material form of some type, then the law protects the expression of that work. That means it's not good enough that it's an idea in your head. It must be put down in a material form in some way. What happens then is, as long as you can prove that it's original to you, that you've put in skill, effort and judgment to get the thing created, yeah, that it came from you initially, essentially, then you are entitled for some economic rights and some moral rights. Economic rights includes right to distribute, rights to perform, rights to put it up. Let's say it's a painting, to have it put up, and then to have it copied and made money from, yeah, to basically utilize it to make money from. And then there are derivative rights where you have offshoots. For example, they print out a poster of something that you draw. They print out pictures and posters, and that's not allowed as well. That is under your purview as the copyright owner. Of course, there's also the moral right, which is the right for, as the author personally, to be attributed as its author. Like, you don't put someone else's name to it. And the right of integrity. So all this comes about, the question is, if you put your work out in the world, you need to ensure that it belongs to you and you haven't licensed it off to someone else. If you've licensed it to someone else, other complications arise because it's a question about the license and so on.
Are the various categories of creative work, I mean, there's video, illustration, writing, design, there are all these things, right? Are they treated differently in the eyes of the law, or do they all fall under what you just described?
Pretty much they all fall under creative works. If they are creative works, like, for example, I'll give you examples. Yeah, photographers will get copyright protection over photos that they compose and take. Visual artists will get protection over drawings, paintings and sculptures. Songwriters, their music score, lyrics, music recordings. Playwrights and screenwriters will get protection over their scripts and their productions. Producers will get protection over their production itself. So is it either it's a playbook or a theater or a screen production. Computer programmers can get protection over the coding. And of course, we all know writers, poets and essayists will get protection over their manuscripts of their creative works. So all of these would be included in copyright protection.
Tell us about our own Copyright Act. What does it cover?
Well, as I said, Malaysia is one of the parties to the Berne Convention. That means all those things are covered. What I've told you is what is subscribed by 179 countries or states around the world. Pretty much all the UN members are subscribing to that. Of course, the laws might be slightly different in countries that are not covered by that. For example, China. If you have a translation of your work adapted into the and sold into the Chinese market, different laws may apply. So this would govern, Malaysian Copyright Act will govern the standard that I just told you earlier.
So let's take it back to this hypothetical creative, right, that we started our show with. So they've put stuff out and now they're seeing, oh, okay, maybe there's something here that looks like what I've done. What point can one say, okay, this work has been copied and take legal action? And in essence, what needs to be proven in order to say that copyright infringement has actually happened?
Okay, so it all depends on the court will look at a few factors. They will look at the whether it's being used by one of the defenses, which is scholarship, education. So there is nothing to prevent somebody using it for learning purposes, as long as the learning is for non-commercial and personal study. So that's one. Also, fair use and dealings covers reviews and news reporting. So news reporting and reviews is one of the defenses as well. Public interest might be one of the defenses if you are, let's say, revealing information that is very important to be told to the public, like public corruption. Otherwise, what happens is the court will look at, in a claim for the wrong person will have to take an action in court, unfortunately. So what happens is it's not good enough that you already have the copyright. To protect your copyright, you actually have to take up an action in court. It's a private action, so as opposed to a criminal action, which is done by the state against an individual. This is between two individuals or two companies. And then what you can get from the court is a prohibition order, which is called an injunction. They can give you damages for the losses that you incurred because they use your copyright. They can ask the party to account for what profits they made, what stocks they have. And you're also given the right to order, you're allowed to go and seize whatever thing. If they're selling, let's say, copies of your work, you can actually go and collect it or force them to give it to you. Yeah, so that is essentially what the court will give, and you have to, no choice, you have to appoint a lawyer because it's not something that mostly men know how to do. But the good thing is, if you have an understanding about how the law works, you can actually, prevention is better than cure, right? It's always a good idea that you understand how it works so that you take preventive measures. For example, putting up a copyright notice in your work. When you, let's say, sign up for pitching a plan, you ensure you tell them that copyright remains with you. Small steps like that will put whoever you're dealing with on notice that you intend to take things seriously. That's at least a little bit of help in this, you know, in this world when everything is being copied now.
Yeah, on that note then, how does publishing and posting on social media change that conversation?
Oh, yes, that's a whole new ballgame, right? Because we all know about the pesky terms and conditions that we sign. You know, I'm sure most people don't even read it. It's just scroll out of the bottom and they press agree, right? What happens in social media sharing is that there's an automatic agreement to share, right? That means whoever joins that platform agrees that whatever content they put on that platform can be shared by others. That's why the share button is almost there automatically. There are some restrictions, like you privatize it and all that, but pretty much if it's up there, it can be shared. That doesn't mean, though, that people can take it and use it as their own. But it is very pesky. I've told people, you know, people who study writing and stuff like that, don't put your drafts up. You know, some people say, oh, I want to put my poetry up. And then they're like, why did somebody, you know, copy it and use it in the news or whatever? Yes, well, that's what social media sharing is all about. So that is an issue, of course.
So there's also this other issue when it comes to art and creativity of drawing inspiration as opposed to copying, right? Making reference, yes. Things like that. From a legal standpoint, where are we here, right? How does this play out?
So it all comes down to whether what's being copied is the idea or the expression. Because we have this understanding in law of the idea versus expression dichotomy. How do you balance the two, right? And don't forget, the court, what it does is it protects expression. So if they are following, for example, specific facets of your creative work that you came up with personally and it's not available to the in the public arena, then you are entitled to enforce that. But if they could have come up with something similar, even if it's exactly the same, but they could have come up with it independently by watching other videos or other, you know, other paintings and other writings, then arguably the court won't help you. Of course, this comes down to whether it's inspiration or, you know, we use the word pastiche, where you're paying homage to something that, you know, like, oh, I want to follow a song by Marvin Gaye. You know, that's what happened with Robin Thicke and Pharrell, right? And they lost their case because the court was under the opinion that they did follow. Unfortunately, there were also all these interviews where they went up and said, I copied. So, not very smart on your part. But you must remember that when people use material like sampling, you know, music sampling, and covers, that actually has to be licensed. And doing it without covers, without paying a license, means that you are actually in copyright infringement. And what happens is if you perform, let's say, in a venue, the venue actually pays a license to the MRM, the music recording collectors. They actually collect on behalf of all these recording companies. Yeah, it's a bit of a minefield, I'm afraid. Yeah.
Another part of this conversation usually focuses on larger corporations using the work of independent creatives, right? So we see this play out most commonly, I think, among fast fashion giants. Now, in the Malaysian context, how does it change the stakes when it involves larger corporations against a smaller player?
Yeah, so the general rule is that when you're commissioned for something, the commissioner will get copyright. That means because they're paying you to do something for them and they own it, right? Unless independent creatives have to assert their copyright over the material from the get-go. Otherwise, the general rule will apply. So let's say if you're pitching for something, you have to tell them that my pitch will remain my copyright, for example. And that will make it stronger. If you are being paid to do something and they say, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to take it. If I'm paying for it, I'm keeping the copyright. Then you have a choice to make. And once you've relinquished that, you've let go of the copyright. In fact, remember I said there is the moral rights where you have the right to be attributed. You can actually license or let go of the right to be attributed. For example, ghostwriters, they write books for celebrities. Their name doesn't come out on the book and they're not allowed to tell anyone about it. So that arrangement can come about. With big corporations, the issue is, of course, there's not enough awareness in our society. So the creatives have to take the initiative themselves, have to be aware of what their rights are and, you know, find out, go for a course, read up, you know, or something like that, because you have to be aware. Otherwise, because this is your bread and butter. We're not doing it for charity, right?
I think that there are two aspects to the question I want to ask. So going back to what you said at the start, firstly, if I'm a creative person and I want to get my work out there, what exactly should I be doing to protect it? So that's one thing. The next thing is, if I didn't do that, but I now think, okay, I want to take action, what is the next step here?
Okay. So the good news is the law protects the work automatically once it's created. So the protection of the law is already there without you doing anything. But for you to stop copyright infringement, then you have to take legal action. So as a writer or a creator or painter or any creative content, as long as you are aware that you have protection and what you can and cannot do, right? The other issue is, of course, that you don't want to accidentally use someone else's copyrighted work within your own work. That can cause complications because you don't really own that. And there's all the other issues that come about from that. Because you know how a lot of people, for example, they put together a patchwork of material from other YouTube videos, for example. They find pictures on Google and all that. And that can give rise to complications. As for protection, as I said, asserting your copyright, for example, every time you print something out, For me, whenever I give up notes and stuff like that, I will always include the copyright C year and my name, right? That standard kind of logo. Not that precludes anyone who doesn't put that, but it helps put the word out there that, hey, this person is taking it seriously lah. Because for other people who aren't really aware about what the issues are, at least having that there will be like, oh dear, I could get sued. Otherwise, I would say just be aware of what the rights are and you know how to protect yourself by letting the public know that you take it seriously. For example, I even know of freelancers who just give their material everywhere. They put it up on and they share it freely without even saying anything, you know. And that is the kind of practice that will come back and, you know, backfire in the long run.
Tina, we have just about a minute left. Is it common in Malaysia for people to sue for artistic copyright?
Yes, that's kind of my job. Yes. It is common because people who do it as a business, for example, I've represented musicians, I've represented book authors, publishers, creators of maps. It's quite prevalent for those who do it as a business to take it very seriously because it's their bread and butter.
Tina, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I was useful.
It was great. Thank you. That was Shamsuria Tina Ishak, senior lawyer and arbitrator who practices in the area of intellectual property law, weighing in on this issue of creatives and when it is that their work is considered to have been copied and what you can do if that does happen to you. We'd like to hear from you. Does it bother you when you hear of people's work being copied? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll get to your messages after this, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.